Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline, the Issues Etc. 300. Well, it was right about this time yesterday I was sitting here in the studio. The door was open because we were playing some pre-recorded stuff during the live program, and I could hear across the hall mournful sounds, genuinely mournful sounds, coming from Lynn, the development director here at Lutheran Public Radio. She is watching on her laptop a church burn. The church is Historic Trinity in Milwaukee, Historic Trinity Lutheran Church there, the oldest church, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in the state. And it was near and dear to her heart. She couldn't hold it back. It was simply devastating to watch this church burn and burn and burn. When I got home, my wife knew about it. She doesn't follow the news in Milwaukee very much, but she knew about it. She had heard the story as well. And it's a story that has touched a lot of people, especially Lutherans around the country. Joining us to talk about Tuesday's devastating fire at Historic Trinity Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, Dr. John Willey. He's president of the South Wisconsin District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Willey, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
If you would first paint a picture of Historic Trinity before this fire, what was that church like?
Looking back, the one word is just wow. It was a beautiful building. It was Gothic architecture. I've got a picture on my phone that I'm looking at the altar. Red carpet, two steps up to the altar, you know, with the triptych pictures on the altar, the center picture with a cross in front, but the picture behind is of the resurrection, the crucifixion on one side, and on the other, the ascension. Stained glass windows behind Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the gospel writers. An awesome, awesome altar. The pulpit was off after the European style, about 10 feet in the air. So when you got up there, you looked down on everybody. It had the covering for the pulpit. It was just an awesome. The organ was amazing. Dr. Benke played that regularly, and it just was wonderful. So one of the last times I was there was to be the liturgist at the 500th Reformation service they had back in October, and the place was filled, and they were, you know, singing A Mighty Fortress. It was, I've got the video on my phone, and I watch it occasionally. It's she was a grand old lady, the church.
Tell us about the congregation. It's just a brief history of the congregation of Historic Trinity.
The congregation goes back about 143 years. Lately, like many inner city churches, they've struggled, but they've held on. You know, it's an interesting congregation because they're a mix of Anglos and African Americans. Their long-term pastor for about 17 years, Hunter Huffman, just retired. They loved TLH, and they still had it in the pews. One of the pictures I saw, there was a half-charred TLH on the ground. And yesterday, my mission exec, Jonah Barakowski, was standing next to Jonah, and he said, well, we might have to get a different hymnal. And Hunter Huffman, the pastor, said, nope, we got 2,000 in the building right next door. So they've got TLH stored away. It's a big loss for the city. You know, Skyline's not going to be the same. But the way it sounds is much of the superstructure, the three walls are still there. The altar, I saw a picture late this afternoon of what was going on inside. The restoration people had taken the pictures off the altar. They'd taken a lot of wood away from the altar. The pulpit was charred a little bit, but it looked like they were going to try to pull that and, you know, work some restoration. One of the wonderful pictures is there's a picture of a fireman. The fire was coming out of the doors late last night when I talked to my mission exec. He was there. I was driving back from the western part of the state. And he said it was awful. But today, when they opened the front doors inside, and this always happens, inside the inside there's the picture of Jesus the Good Shepherd on the wall. It's an old, old picture. It's not harmed at all. Yesterday, that room was filled with fire. And still some things that survive.
Do we know anything, Dr. Willie, about the cause of this fire?
There was a roofing company working on the roof, because it was an old shale roof, and the paper this morning said there were some heating tools up there that started the fire. Exactly, they believe. Exactly what that means, I'm not sure. They might have been left on, I'm not sure. But it was very windy. When Hunter Hoffman, I talked to him last night, and he said that when he walked out of the building, he was the one who saw the fire first. He looked up at the scaffolding, and he saw a piece of burning material falling down from the scaffolding. And then he went in and called the fire department, and by the time he got back out, the first steeple was engulfed, and the superstructure, I mean, the scaffolding was ablaze already, too. So it sounds like the fire chief is pointing the finger at the roofing company with the heating tools that were up there working on the roof.
And you described this a little bit a moment ago, but how extensive is the damage as far as we can tell?
The paper this morning put it at $13 million for the building and $4 million for contents. So $17 million total. Fortunately, they have a good insurance company. We have several lawyers in South Wisconsin, and a couple of them have stepped up and volunteered to do some pro bono work with the people at Trinity. I just got a voice message from another company. They're LCMS, but they have an Episcopal church nearby, and they're offering that for the people to worship, to hold services in divine service for the next couple of months because it's empty. You know, so short-term, there should be hope for them to have a nice place downtown somewhere, not too far away from where they had a building, so they can catch their breath and hopefully rebuild soon.
Do we know if anyone was injured during the fire?
No one was injured, thankfully. Pastor Hoffman was in the building, and he was going home. It was about 4:30. The clock on the steeple froze in time when the fire got to it, and nobody else was in there And the fire department was able to get in when they got there because they made that a priority to make sure that no one else was in the building. So they got in because the fire was up high. It started on the roof, and the roof burned, and then it caved in the roof on top of the pews. I was told today that some of the pews might be salvageable. So we'll see.
This is, we don't want to, as pastors, encourage a direct association with the word church, with simply the building. It's kind of a cliche to say that the church is not a building. But church is also the gathering of God's people around His word and sacraments also need places to gather as well. What are your thoughts there, Dr. Willie?
Right. You know, one of the comments that I put in the initial news release that came out of my office was, the church may be in ashes, but the gospel will not be silenced. They will continue to gather and worship in divine service to receive the gifts of word and sacrament like they always have. It might be in a different location for a while. As they rebuild, the church might not be as gothic as it was before. It's certainly not going to be as old as it was before. But, you know, they'll gather around the altar, hear the word proclaimed from the pulpit, receive word and sacrament as an assurance of forgiveness and life and salvation. Pastor Hoffman had an interesting comment when we talked to him yesterday. It was an Old Testament reference. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And, you know, he sets the tone yet for the congregation, so I'm sure they'll be resilient. They'll have the most important part, word and sacrament ministry, as you mentioned.
Do they think that they can actually rebuild what was lost in the fire on at the same place? Or does this, I was watching this structure, and you're right, it does mark the skyline of the city. In a way, do they feel like all that has to come down, the towers and the spires and all of that?
I don't know if any architects have looked at it yet, Todd. It would be nice if they could save that original tower, you know, the original steeple in the front with the front door. You know, I've been in Germany. You may have been in Germany with the bombed-out buildings and churches. There's a Lutheran church in downtown Berlin where everything was burned, blown up, but the steeple is still there. You know, so this is, 70 years, 80 years later. Maybe they can do the same. Some good architect with some building skills, maybe they'll be able to save some of that. I don't know. It would be nice.
How would you respond to someone who says, why would God allow a Christian church to burn down?
Oh, my. That's a loaded question. As you know, God allowed it, but the devil was the one who was trying to silence the gospel. And that's why the gospel can't be silenced. We have to continue to proclaim. As you mentioned, the church is more than a building. It is people. People gather around word and sacrament ministry. It's more than the pews, more than the hymnals, more than the beautiful altar and stained glass windows, many of which are all just blown apart now by the fire. But they still have the most important part of church, word and sacrament, where God comes and serves his people with forgiveness, life, and salvation. Maybe this is a reminder from the good Lord that we need to reprioritize on some levels. It's not about buildings, it's about people.
Finally, then, what can our listeners do to help Historic Trinity Lutheran, that congregation up there in Milwaukee?
Number one, keep them in your prayers because they're going through some very traumatic times. They left Divine Service last Sunday thinking they were going to come back this Sunday. They're meeting tonight at the district of South Wisconsin district office with my mission exec, Jonah Burkowski, to figure out where they're going to meet on Sunday and also to talk about funding, you know, because we've got lots of people, lots of churches reaching out, asking about where they can send money to help with the rebuilding process. So as soon as we get that, we can, you know, they don't have any of that set up, obviously, because they weren't planning for this. But as soon as we get that, all that set up, we can forward that information to you, and it can be shared. We're going to hold it up to everybody to help. You know, this is an historic church. Lots of people have gone through there in membership or visited. There have been several synod conventions that were held there a long time ago. Dr. Harrison has preached there several times. I've preached there several times. Lots of events have taken place there over the years. So it's got a special place in a lot of people's hearts. And I think with everybody pitching together, we can rebuild. It might not be as old as it was. It definitely won't be. But God's word will be proclaimed, the sacraments administered.
Dr. John Willey is president of the South Wisconsin District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Willey, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for all you do.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman of The Federalist. She has written the book Education Invasion, and it has to do with Common Core. Well, California has a kind of riches to rags story to tell about math results before and after Common Core. We'll see what it looks like by the numbers right after this.
Children are a gift from God, a rich heritage, a precious trust. They are sinners, baptized saints, little brothers and sisters in Christ. It is this beautiful vision that shapes our daily work as parents and grandparents, teachers, pastors, mentors, and friends. And it's this vision you'll see shining through every article in this month's Lutheran Witness magazine, The Gift of Children. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
O Lord, open my lips,
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.